And welcome back. You're tuned in to the HBCU Nation Radio Show, and I'm your host, Anthony Ray. Glad to have you join the broadcast today. And we're blessed to have joining us for this segment our good friend, our go-to guy in all matters PR and marketing, Eddie Francis. Eddie is a former HBCU Public Relations Director, mass media veteran, and speaker. He publishes the blogs PR and Marketing in Higher Ed, as well as Identity and Value. Also an advocate of Black Greek Letter Organizations, Eddie is pursuing his master's in strategic leadership at Tennessee State University. And you can learn more about him at eddiefrancis.com. And today, we're going to be talking about a piece that he posted recently entitled Winston-Salem State Strengthens Institutional Brand by Rejecting Popular College Ranking. Eddie, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely. Let me say up front, we just appreciate all that you do. Been hanging out now with us for about 6 years, man, as a frequent contributor. We couldn't do what we do and have gotten done what we've gotten done without you and your advocacy, man, on behalf of our nation's HBCUs. We appreciate all that you do, Doc.
Thanks a lot, Anthony. And let me say, it's been a blessing. And I definitely appreciate the faith that you've had in me, and I appreciate the audience. And I definitely appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk about the things that we can do from the PR marketing standpoint for HBCUs. And I'm a very proud advocate. I'm happy to be an advocate. So thank you so much for the opportunity all these years.
Absolutely. Hey, man, this is an interesting piece you got. Winston-Salem State strengthens institutional brand by rejecting popular college ranking. I saw that piece that they put out. Dr. Robinson, Chancellor there, saying, hey, you know what, guys? You may not see us this year. Ranked or in that particular listening. So set this piece up for the folk that are tuning in right now so they can know exactly what are you guys talking about. let's set this all up, Eddie. No one does it better than you.
Thank you. Well, U.S. News and World Report did their annual college rankings. And, of course, a lot of people use this almost as a Bible for checking on the institutional quality of colleges and universities. And Winston-Salem State took a bold move. You know, Chancellor Robinson put out an open letter to the Winston-Salem State community saying that, listen, you know, we're not going to appear in the 2019 rankings, but he wrote, is not for the reason that you think. And so what has happened is that he explained that the university has declined to fill out the annual peer evaluations and the surveys that go along with the getting these rankings together, but they've opted out of it deliberately because they believe that the metrics that are used to measure the quality of colleges and universities by U.S. News and World Reports are not necessarily representative of true quality when it comes to colleges and universities, to institutional quality. It should be mentioned, and I want to make sure that people understand this up front, this is not the first time I've heard this. You know, when I was a PR director at Southern University in New Orleans, they opted not to participate for the same reasons. And here's the thing, it's interesting. There's a diverse group of colleges and universities that choose not to do this. This is not HBCUs crying over spilled milk. You have Barnard College of Columbia University that chooses not to be in the rankings. There's a liberal arts college in Oregon called Reed College. They've chosen not to be a part of it. And not even 2 weeks after Winston-Salem State released their statement about not being in the rankings, Grand Canyon University released a similar statement saying that they choose not to be in the rankings. So what's going on is that all of these colleges and universities, and a lot of them are liberal arts colleges and universities, a lot of them are smaller, mm-hmm. a lot of these institutions have said the very same thing that Chancellor Robinson has said, and that is, while we respect what U.S. News and World Report does, while we respect that it is a widely accepted measurement of institutional quality, we don't agree. Mm-hmm. And here's why. And so I salute Chancellor Robinson on sharing that message. But here's what I really like about what he did. He didn't go to the mainstream media and say, could you please plead our case for us? Mm. He published his letter on Winston-Salem State University's website, and it got pushed out from there. And so what he clearly did is he clearly decided to, as I wrote in the blog, he planted a flag, and he planted the institutional flag and said, listen, this is why we're not doing it. You can either get with us or get gone, you know, but this is how we're doing it. And by the way, we strongly believe in who we are as an institution.
You know, he pointed out in that open letter, he said that the U.S. News and World Report's rankings feed the myth that most selective schools and the schools who spend the most money are superior to schools like Winston-Salem State University, which place priority on access and affordability. And he wrote further that these rankings require focus in areas that are antithetical to their historical mission. And I love that because he points out, I say, you know what, you'll note that while we are highlighting rankings that evaluate the quality of academic programs, the value we provide to our students, he writes, and the outcomes of our graduates to our commitment to student success, you know, that was the whole focus. And you're right. I love how he didn't go to the mainstream media. He did an open letter. And so, gosh, he's really just he's actually controlling on the narrative that he wants to put out there, isn't he?
He is. He's controlling the narrative, and therefore he's strengthening the brand of the university by doing that. You know, one of the things that I love is that he used other rankings against the U.S. News and World Report's metrics. And so one of the things that he pointed out is that Winston-Salem State is number one in the UNC system, the University of North Carolina system, for students having jobs in North Carolina after graduation. Winston-Salem State appears in the top 20 of the nation in the social mobility index. He also pointed out that they're proud to have graduates in the health sciences who pass their licensure exams at rates that are high above the national average. And those are very, very strong arguments, Anthony. And and I think it really gets people past this whole thing that some people might be thinking of, well, you're just mad because, you know, U.S. News and World Reports didn't rank you.
Right.
And that's not it. Exactly. Nobody's upset about it.
Right.
What people don't like is that you have this very strong media outlet. They are people who publish what they publish. They have a certain view of how they publish it. And what really I think has taken a lot of people you know, kind of off their center about these rankings is that parents have started to use these rankings as a Bible. So if Winston-Salem State, if SUNO, if Barnard, if colleges, you know, Reed College, and you know, in Grand Canyon, if they don't appear, if they don't appear in these rankings, then you have a lot of parents out there who don't understand the higher education game. You have a lot of them saying, "Oh well, what's wrong with them? Hold on, but see, this one's at the top, that one's at the top. They must be doing a great job." And by the way, let's be clear. There are quite a few HBCUs that do well in these rankings. And they should take that narrative and they should work with it. They should accept that victory. And I'm not saying that any institution that does appear in the rankings should not be proud of the rankings. Be proud of your ranking by all means. But don't limit your thinking to this is the only way to measure institutional quality. It's not the only way. It's a way. It's one way, but it's not the only way. And I think that's what Chancellor Robinson and a lot of other institutions are saying. You know, there are so many other ways to measure institutional quality, and here's Winston-Salem State University. We are making our case right now.
If you're just joining us, you're tuned in to the HBCU Nation radio show, and I'm your host, Anthony Ray. So glad to have you join the broadcast today. And joining us for this segment is our good friend, Eddie Francis. Eddie is a former HBCU public relations director, mass media veteran, and speaker, and he publishes the blogs PR and Marketing in Higher Ed. And today we are discussing his most recent blog post entitled, Winston-Salem State Strengthens Institutional Brand by Rejecting Popular College Ranking. Again, Eddie, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me, Anthony. Good to be on, as always.
Absolutely. This is a great conversation that we're having. And so the whole premise behind this thing was for Winston-Salem Chancellor Robertson was to strengthen their institutional brand by controlling, as you're right, their narrative about popular college rankings. Now, Eddie, how important is it for us to understand that media, as you're right, and put out in your blog post, media opinions are controlled by a limited viewpoint, and HBCU should control their narratives by playing to their audiences, but still working to diversify the voices heard in media?
Well, let me start with a real quick story. When I got to SUNO, one of the biggest mistakes I made was, I was one of those people who asked, well, why isn't the university in these rankings?
Right,
what's going
right,
on? How
right.
do we compete? How do we
sure,
compete?
Sure.
And I was so full of wanting to compete. Well, here's the deal. I, like so many other people around this country who are black, white, red, mm-hmm. you know, whatever,
right.
brown,
mm-hmm.
like so many other people around this country, mm-hmm. I was one of those people who was hearing a very popular viewpoint that is filtered through the media. And those viewpoints are very, very limited. Now, the thing is, they are so widespread and they are so much of a foundation of American opinion. But here's the problem. There are a couple of statistics I want to run past you. There's a great organization called the Op-Ed Project. They actually do a program that Halima, my wife, she was a fellow of the Op-Ed program, and I actually participated in a one-day workshop that they do about writing op-eds. And a very interesting point that they make is that in 2008, 97% of the Wall Street Journal's scholarly op-eds were written by men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm. 97%. Wow.
97%.
Wow.
So only 3% of those are women.
Mm.
But here's the thing that we have to ask ourselves.
Okay.
Of those men, of that 97% of men, mm-hmm. how many of those men were black men?
Oh, Lord.
You know, and so it's the Wall Street Journal. So
right.
we can safely assume that a lot of those men are white men.
Right.
Now, there's another organization called Foreign Policy Interrupted, and they ran some numbers for the New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
As of 2016, they found that collectively those opinions were dominated by 85% men. 85%. And
wow.
again, if we're talking about the New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and Wall Street Journal,
mm-hmm.
realistically, how many of those men right. are black men?
Right.
You know, of the 15% of women, how many of those women were black women? We have to ask these questions.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that when you take a look at some of the biggest media outlets and the most respected media outlets that we have in this country, and that's just newspapers.
Right. Okay? Exactly. That's good point. That's just newspapers. Right. Exactly.
So we take a look at a lot of these mainstream media voices.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to really consider is this. Where does my opinion about a quality university come from?
Mm.
If I'm looking at U.S. News and World Reports, if I'm looking at the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, if I'm looking at these newspapers of record, if I'm taking a look at what the country's definition of educational success is, the button-up, you know, tight jaw,
right.
you know, power suit executive, if I'm looking at all of those narratives and all those images, I'm walking into a university like SUNO, like I did, with a very, very limited view of what educational quality and success look like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That is the problem. That is what shapes America's opinion when it comes to educational quality and success. And that's why it's really, really important to consider who the dominant voices are in these conversations about what higher education quality looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So what Chancellor Robinson did was bold.
Mm-hmm.
It is risky too. Now it is risky because you are going to have those people who listen to those mainstream voices all the time
right.
who are going to say, oh, well, his poor little university, you know, I've never even heard of them. They're crying for spilled milk.
Mm-hmm.
He runs that risk as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have that control, that kind of control, then a lot of us, we don't think of it that way, Anthony. All we know is that we picked up the newspaper, and the newspaper said that this school has a 15% graduation rate, and you know I've talked about that before. I'm very passionate about that issue. Mm-hmm. We read that in the newspaper, and then boom,
right?
That's the opinion. That's mm-hmm. the Bible. Mm-hmm. That's what we believe, and that's a decision, and that's how we make, and that's how we judge everybody else. That's it. Period. End of story. I don't want to hear another opinion.
Right.
And we tend to do that all the time.
Right.
You know, one of the beat writers that I used to work with when I was a PR director, mm-hmm. you know, this guy, his view of institutional quality was very much informed by an elite, predominantly white university. And mm. that's how he measured every single university against that one school and the schools like it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you went to him and said, listen, you have a good point. It's a great institution, mm-hmm. but it's not all according to this view. He didn't understand that conversation. He didn't mm-hmm. get it.
Mm-hmm.
So his head was so buried in all these statistics and everything mm-hmm. that it was really hard to get through to him sometimes. And then, goodness forbid, if something bad happened at the university, you know, some student misbehaved at the university mm-hmm. and got arrested on campus. I mean, heaven forbid if that happened at
right.
HBCU.
Right.
That point would pop up in the article 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the article could be about how the institution climbed the national rankings and such,
mm-hmm.
and this very same writer is going to say, by the way, 5 years ago,
oh, someone yeah. got and that. Something. Why did they do that? They had to go back and attach that to this, you know? So, wow, what is that all about?
The thing is that is such a controlling view
mm-hmm.
that the very same people are not going to tell you
mm.
about the unfortunate incidents that happen at some of the elite colleges and universities around the country.
Right.
They're not
going to
tell.
Right.
They're not going to tell somebody got stabbed on a campus there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not
going to
tell you that somebody that they're not going to tell you that emergency units show up every weekend on fraternity row when somebody mm. decides to burn their frat house down.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
not going to tell you that.
Right.
So
mm.
unfortunately, that's why I think what Chancellor Robinson did is so impressive
mm-hmm.
because he bucked the system.
Mm-hmm.
He's being very bold about it. And at the same time, he's saying, you don't have to define us as a quality university, but
mm-hmm.
we do. And here's how we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the proof.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really important. And by the way, Winston-Salem State is not the only HBCU doing this.
Right.
I mean, there are other HBCUs that are doing the same thing. They are doing their narratives the same way. But I think what he did mm. is such a great example for other HBCUs that may find themselves struggling with this public conversation and with these views.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a great way. Again, it was a great way for him to brand. But I think HBCUs would do well to really think about how they can further control their narratives of
mm-hmm.
success.
Mm-hmm. And again, and before we wrap it up, it's just an incredible job in doing that. That open letter to the Ram family, I mean, Eddie, just going right straight to the point and landing all that. I know he says, heretofore, you may have been accustomed to seeing us listed, but here's the reason why this time we decided not, if you will, to participate. And he talks about that in terms of the fact that the reason why they didn't do it, of course, it was deliberate, and because they believe that the rankings do not measure any of the metrics that he felt are important, and the number of low-income students admitted and graduated, the low cost of tuition, and the high employment outcomes after graduation. And as you mentioned early on in our interview and our conversation, that they're proud that they ranked mm-hmm. number one. You and I talked about this several years ago in the University of North Carolina system for students having jobs in North Carolina after graduation. Well, major kudos to him. And as you pointed out that he talks about the fact that they are listed in the top 20 Winston-Salem in the nation for years on the Social Mobility Index, the SMI. And that is the whole thing that really evaluates what's really going on and takes into account their goal of helping students succeed in life while having a positive, as you write, long-lasting economic impact on the state and the nation. So, man, major kudos unto him for doing that. And then I saw you when it first came out. You hit me up on Twitter and said, hey, man, I can't wait to talk about this. And so now for real, you're right, because I caught that too. And so, man, we now get a chance to share it with the general population, guys. Listen, this is a great piece, Eddie. As always, appreciate all that you do. You guys can learn more about Eddie at eddiefrancis.com. Anything closing on this, Eddie, that we didn't discuss that we should do before we make it a wrap?
Yeah, I want to make two really quick points.
Sure.
And one is, I do want to give credit to U.S. News and Rural Reports, because they have announced that they are adjusting the way that they
do their metrics. Oh, wow. Okay, they did? Okay, wow, really?
And I think they do deserve credit for that. The
right.
second thing, though,
right.
and this is a very important point,
mm-hmm.
while we have mainstream media outlets that may not necessarily want to hear the story of HBCUs, or they may not understand the story of HBCUs,
right.
that doesn't mean run the other way. That,
right.
that doesn't mean cut and run, and that doesn't mean don't engage them.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, what I would say is double down on figuring out how to continue to have this conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because while Chancellor Robinson is controlling the narrative, the other thing he's doing is he's helping expand the conversation
mm-hmm.
about what it means to be a quality institution.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say this is an opportunity for HBCU journalism programs, mass communication programs,
mm-hmm.
to really, really double down and to help students understand how they can have their voices heard, how to diversify those voices in the major outlets. But then at the same time, continue to cater to the audiences that do appreciate our narratives. I've said this before, no newspaper or media outlet should be too small, especially if it's a black media outlet, if it's a black newspaper, if it's an HBCU outlet. They should not be too small for institutions to tell their stories.
Mm.
So we can do two things at one time.
Right.
We can do two things at one time. And so I would encourage HBCUs to do it. And this is a fight.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely a fight, which is why our good friend Crystal DeGregory, likes to call the HBCU
right.
advocacy the battlefield.
Right.
You know, so this is definitely a fight that
right.
is good. Requires not just one strategy, but several strategies working at one time.
Eddie is a former HBCU public media director, mass media veteran, and speaker. He publishes the blogs PR and Marketing in Higher Ed, as well as Identity and Value. He's also an advocate of Black Greek Letter Organizations. Eddie is pursuing his master's in strategic leadership at Tennessee State University. And you can learn more about him at eddiefrancis.com. And my friend and brother, as always, until next time, man, take care. Thanks a lot for all that you do.
You got it, Anthony. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity again, brother.
Take care. God bless.